There are many ways people listen to Vision, including DAB Plus digital radio.
If you're in Greater Sydney, Melbourne or Brisbane and have a digital radio receiver in your car or home, you'll find Vision Christian Radio on the station list. If you're visiting one of these cities and hiring a car, there's a good chance it will have a DAB receiver and you'll be able to enjoy Vision with exceptional sound quality while you drive around. If you don't already own a DAB receiver, you'll find many models, including clock radios, at electronic retailers for under $100. To find out more about Vision on digital radio and whether you're within the broadcast footprint, see vision.org.au/DAB.
However and wherever you listen to Vision, you can be sure that the announcers, programs and music will help you look to God daily. Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
Back in the days of the Bible, when Israel settled in the Promised Land, cities of refuge were set up for the purpose of protecting an accidental manslayer from the avenger of blood. In Israelite society, there was no police force to investigate crimes, but it was the moral responsibility of the family members who were closest to the victim to investigate and, if necessary, avenge the death. This person was called the avenger of blood. But this person's own emotional subjectivity would cloud his judgment. He might not want to go to the trouble to figure out whether it was an accidental killing or a premeditated murder. And so the accidental killer was a marked man. Now God ordained six cities of refuge to which the accidental manslayer could flee. The moment he crossed the threshold of the city, he was safe. This, of course, is a picture of Christ, our refuge, but also the fact that churches should be a city of refuge, a place of grace where anyone may come in and know they will find shelter. They can be sure they will be safe and free from harm. Sadly, some churches which are meant to provide refuge and security are actually places where people are spiritually abused. Now, like the cities of refuge, may our churches be places where a person is no longer defined by their past, but by the unsurpassable worth that God has given to them in Christ.
This is Set Free with Ken Legg.
I'm Phil Edwards, and this week we are looking at coping with criticism, something we all have to do from time to time. Now, Ken, you had a very good illustration just now when you talked about those cities of refuge in the Old Testament. I wasn't aware of that, actually. What a great understanding of what that actually meant. And it's a really good picture of Christ himself, of course, about the kind of environment that he wants us, his church, to be, because after all, we are his body.
Yes, a church should be a safe zone, a place where people don't have to fear judgment or criticism, either from the pulpit or from the church police. That is, those who think it's their ministry to fix people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There are people who say they have the gift of discernment about people, but I think what they mean is they have the gift of criticism. I often say to people who visit us, we are not interested in your past. We're interested in your future.
Wow, what a transforming statement that is. We can get our head around that. We're not interested in our past. We're interested in our future. Now, Paul was someone who was like that. I mean, if he was interested in his past, then he would have been in trouble because his past was pretty bad. And he copped some pretty bad criticism too. We've touched on this already, but just let's run through those points again.
Yeah, well, first of all, he had little regard for what his critics had to say. He said, "With me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you." Notice that, not even just a small thing, but a very small thing that I should be judged by you. So we need to be careful about who we allow to speak into our lives. Often criticism says more about our critic than it does about us. And then secondly, it is important to be accountable. This comes out of mutually accountable relationships in the body of Christ, where you know that any criticism that comes your way is going to be constructive. You know, it's out of relationship, out of friendship. We need to avoid those hit-and-run critics that just dump on us and then run. You know, don't read anonymous hate mail. We've got to put boundaries around us from that kind, to protect us from that kind of stuff, you know. But thirdly, of course, we do need to learn to self-evaluate. God has given us a conscience. So your friends are greater than your critics, but your conscience is greater than your friends. Now, let's give an example of that. You remember Paul had some prophecies as he was getting towards the end of his ministry, that if he went back to Jerusalem, he was going to be arrested and taken by the Romans and put on trial and be in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a prophet, I think his name was Agabus, and he laid hold of his girdle, his belt, and said, the man that owns this belt is going to be arrested, going to be taken by wicked men and put on trial and so on. Everybody is weeping and crying. And Paul says, whoa, stop this. You know, what are you trying to break my heart or something? Stop this. You know, I'm prepared to go through this. Some people think that he was actually going against prophecies that were telling him not to go ahead, but they were just warning him, this is what's going to happen.
Mm.
Now, you decide, Paul, whether you want to go into this. And of course, Paul knew the will of God for his life. He wanted to go to Rome. You know, Rome was the capital of the Gentile world. And Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. He wanted to go into the heart of the empire and speak into Caesar's household. So he knew God's will more than anyone else for his life. And so it's great to have friends that care about us and can offer criticism and advice and so on, but nobody knows us more than we know ourselves.
It's really about balance is what I'm picking up what you're saying here, is that on one hand, we shouldn't listen to every bit of criticism that comes along. On the other hand, we shouldn't ignore it all. Either we need to be selective with the criticism that we allow ourselves to take on board from those whose motives we know are right, that our friends and so on, and through those filters. And conscience, for example, is the greatest factor in analysing our criticism. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it's not the greatest, because Paul goes on actually to say that there's something even greater than our conscience. In fact, let me just read that to you, Phil, out of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5. He says, I know nothing against myself. In other words, he's talking about his conscience. He says, I haven't violated my conscience. I'm not aware of anything against myself. Yet, he says, I'm not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Then he goes on to say, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. So clearly, the greatest means of evaluating our lives is even something beyond our conscience, and that is God himself. So I believe that means a couple of things. First of all, let God evaluate you regarding your position. That judgment, you know, concerning your true value, your true worth, your position. Don't let other people say, for example, you're useless, you're hopeless, you know, you're always a problem, you know. That's kind of like putting a value judgment upon you. Now, hang on a minute. God has actually already made a value judgment upon my life at the cross. As we said just recently, you know, at the cross, God says, you are of unsurpassable worth. The blood of Jesus, my own son, has redeemed you. That's how valuable you are. That's your true worth. Don't let anybody kind of put some other value judgment upon you, because God is the one that makes the call there. But also concerning our walk, you know, that's concerning our position, but concerning our walk, I believe God again is the one that will guide us. We may have a conscience, but God is even greater than our conscience. John puts it this way, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. He says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. See, if our heart condemns us, there's no point in going any further, because God is even greater than our conscience. If our conscience says, no, red light, we don't get a second opinion from God. God is greater than our conscience. And the great thing is this, Phil, that we have a relationship with God. And I think this is something we've got to really stress today in the church. We don't have to go to somebody and say, what do you think God wants me to do about this? Or what do you think God is saying to me about this? That's old covenant stuff. You know, if somebody under the old covenant wanted to know something from God, he would go to a mediator, like a priest or a prophet, and get them to find God's will. The writer to the Hebrews says that under the new covenant, no longer shall we say to our brother, know the Lord, for everyone shall know the Lord. We will have our own relationship with God. God will speak to us. And Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. And that's something we need to encourage. You know, we do have prophets in the body of Christ. Thank God for them. But I am a little bit concerned about the mentality where people think unless they run to the prophet, they won't get God's word for their lives. You know, we have an open heaven. God has given us this beautiful relationship, this personal, intimate relationship with him. And he wants us to learn to hear his voice and to know what he says. Otherwise, we will be victim to the criticisms and the judgments of other people.
And that really is the key, is learning to hear that voice of the Lord. And I've got to say, personally, it's something I've struggled with, because often you're just so busy doing everything that you do and you're busy processing all the stuff that's thrown at you and everything else, to find that quiet space to study God's word and to get to know him and to hear that word of the Lord. So it's not necessarily an easy thing,
no,
but it's something that we must do. And to
it's
listen
a growing
to,
thing, isn't it?
It's a growing thing. Listen to his voice and not the voices of those around us who are, you know, standing on from the sidelines, sandbagging often.
Yeah.
A very practical study this week on coping with criticism, and we'll have more for you tomorrow. Until then, remember, you don't have to carry that baggage. God wants you to be set free.
For books, DVDs, small group studies and other resources from Ken Legg, including the book What's Eating You, which features topics from today's message, shop online at vision.org.au. That's vision.org.au.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.